feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. One of the great things about the stories of the Old Testament is that we can learn so much from the lives of the saints of old. We are certainly seeing that in our studies so far in the book of Judges. On today's program, we will begin a verse-by-verse study of Judges chapter 10. Once again, we will see valuable lessons from a couple of not very well-known guys. These guys, Tola and Jer, may seem a bit obscure to us, but they are giants in God's eyes. Let's now join Pastor John and hear their story.
Judges chapter 10. And after Abimelech, he was the guy that tried to usurp power, the son of Gideon, the man who would be king. Remember what happened? It all came crashing down on his head, quite literally. He was killed, dead, by a woman dropping a rock on his head. Interesting story. Well, Abimelech is off the scene, this guy that wanted to be somebody, but ended up being a disaster. There came another man who was a true judge or a deliverer, and he arose to defend Israel. His name was Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo. He was a man of Issachar, that is from the tribe of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. He judged Israel for 23 years, and he died and was buried in Shamir. This guy, Tola, we talked about a couple of Sundays ago. An interesting guy. Not much is said about him, but there's a real wonderful lesson we can glean from him. For his name, Tola, means worm. Interesting, because in Psalm 22:6, as we pointed out in that Sunday study, Psalm 22, the psalm that speaks of Jesus on the cross, it's a psalm of prophecy. It paints an incredible picture of the one who was to come, Jesus, dying on the cross. It describes his death vividly. And in verse 6, of Psalm 22, the Lord cries, "I am a worm and not a man." And the word worm is Tola. And as we pointed out to you, this word Tola means worm, or it also can be translated as, who can recall? Scarlet. Because that's how they got scarlet in Bible days. They would take the worms and grind them up, and then dip the material in the ground up worm, and it would come out a scarlet color, you see. The Tola, though, it reproduces in a most interesting way. The Tola makes its way, the worm climbs up a tree, fastens onto a limb, lays its eggs, which turn into larvae. And when those eggs hatch and turn into larvae, the larva actually eats the body of the worm, the parent worm, if you would. And that parent worm dies fastened to a tree, giving its body to be eaten by its young so that they might live. And then after that worm is eaten up, there is left there in its place a scarlet spot on the limb of the tree. And after 3 days, that scarlet spot, the blood of the worm, because its body has been eaten, after 3 days, according to the New International Bible Encyclopedia, that scarlet color there on the limb of the tree turns into a white, flaky kind of substance. It dries up and it turns white and it flakes off and falls to the ground like snow. So, it's a picture of Jesus. I am a worm and not a man, he said, as he too climbed a tree, was fastened to the cross, the limb of Calvary. Why? He died. His blood was shed. We eat of his body. Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you, he said. He that doesn't eat of me has not life, Jesus said that day in John chapter 6. Hey, you know what that means. We eat of his broken body. His blood has cleansed us of sin. He died, the tola, the worm. And the spot that was left behind, that turned to snow, if you would, Isaiah chapter 1 tells you and me, though your sins be as scarlet, tola is the word, they shall be white as snow. What a grand picture that is. You see, Jesus is the worm. I say that reverently. I say that lovingly. He's the tola. I am a tola. Why? To defend us. Defend us from the accusation of the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, who doesn't rest night nor day, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 tells you and me, but accuses us of our sins, our shortcomings, our failures, constantly. But it says, he, the enemy, the accuser, was overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony. The blood. If any man sin, John says in 1 John chapter 2, know this, we have an advocate, a defense attorney. We have an advocate, a defense attorney. Jesus Christ, the righteous. He defends us. He defends you. He defends me. He's the tola. He's the judge. Just like this guy, this tola, it says in verse 1, this tola arose to defend Israel. If you have a King James version, another version may say to deliver or to save. And any of those words are allowable in the translation from the Hebrew, but the best choice is what King James chose, if you would, to defend. And tola did that. Tola, this tola, like our tola, Jesus, he rose up and he did one thing that makes him a man who goes down in God's word historically. He did something which I can do, what you can do. We might not be able to do a lot of exploits like other judges that we read about did, or others here, other heroes in the Old Testament have done. But this I can do. You can too. What's that? You can defend people. You can defend people. You can give people a break. Not based on sloppy agape, but based on the blood of the tola, the blood of the Lamb. Sins have been paid for, not just my sins and not just your sins, not simply our sins, but 1 John chapter 2 says he died for our sins and the sins of the what? Whole world. So we can be those that give people breaks and cut people slack. We can be those that defend, not accuse, not condemn, not fault find, but rather choose to be defenders, like tola. You might say, oh, I can't do anything, I'm just a worm. Good, perfect. This is you, worm. Tola, a defender of God's people. That's what you can do. That's what I get to do. Cut people slack. We were playing Monopoly last night, and, you know, oh my, I was in trouble. It was me and Tambo and Mary and Ben. And I was getting trampled on. And so it was getting kind of serious for me as I was losing resources quickly. I landed on Marvin Gardens. You know that yellow piece of property there, the Marvin Gardens one? It was Mary's, and she had a hotel on it. And she says, okay, Dad. She says, that's going to be $500. And I said, $500? That can't be. It's got a motel on it or a hotel on it. It can't be $500. It's got to be like $1,200 or something like that. No, she says, that's our senior citizens rate. See, she cut me slack, see. She showed me mercy. She defended me. I like that. Let's find ways to cut people slack. See, if you have no other ministry, you can have a monopoly on that one. Because there's not many people really that are those that will identify themselves or view themselves as being a defender of people. Many folks want to go around and set people straight and give them a piece of their mind. Listen, when you want to give somebody a piece of your mind, don't. You don't have enough to give away. So, hey, let's look at Tola and say, this guy, recorded in God's word, did something very simple but significant for 23 years. He defended God's people. I like that. Then he died. After him arose Jair, a Gileadite who judged Israel 22 years. Now he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Camon. Now Jair, again, just a couple of verses about him. But something which is noteworthy and interesting to me is he had 30 sons, and he gave each of his 30 sons an ass, a donkey. Now in those days, donkeys were like, I don't know, deputy cars, if you would. You've seen police cars, you know, the deputies that drive around and all of that. That would be synonymous to or equal to the 30 donkeys. If you rode a donkey in that day, it meant that you were a keeper of the peace. You were a man of influence. You were a constable. You were a deputy. Interesting, because Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He had been deputized, if you would, by the Father as the Prince of Peace, to offer the world a plan of peace, a way of salvation, see. And this guy, you see, he had 30 sons, and each one of them rode a donkey too, and each one of them had a city in which they were overseeing. This judge, Jair, had 30 sons, and they weren't JKs or judges' kids. They weren't rebellious. They weren't, you know, riding horses when they were supposed to be riding donkeys, or in chariots when they're supposed to be on colts, donkey colts, you see. They were following in their father's footsteps. This goes to Jair's credit, in my opinion, that he had sons who were deputized, if you would, and continued on in helping oversee peace and rightness in the 30 cities of the region in which this man, Jair, was judging in. I had an interesting Saturday afternoon. Tambo, my wife, and Mary, my daughter, and Christy, my daughter, who's married to Seth, were down in California attending the wedding of my niece, Emily. And so I was working on some stuff during the day for the fellowship, and in the afternoon I was hungry. So I jumped in my bug and I drove out to Denny's. And I like to go to Denny's because I've discovered something about Denny's. First of all, the prices are real reasonable. But secondly, is that nobody goes there, but tourists. You know what I'm saying? So if I want to go and read or study or just, you know, kind of sit down with my Bible and my Denny's is the place to go. Now, don't tell anybody I said that. But nobody goes there except for people that are getting off I-5, you know, tourists and all of that. So I like to go to Denny's. So I'm there at Denny's over there by the Food for Less. And it's like, oh, I don't know, 3 in the afternoon or so. And I got my Bible open. I got my notebook out, just jotting some stuff down, thinking some things through. And I heard in the next booth over from me, Applegate. And there was two lovely ladies, and I would put their age, I would guesstimate it about 65 or so, both of them. And the one lady, sharp as a tack, she said, "Have you heard about Applegate?" And I go, "Oh, no. Here we go. Now, why do I have to hear this now? Wherever, even Denny's, I came here to be with tourists, you know." She says, "Have you heard about Applegate?" And the one other lady said, "Yeah, a little bit." And she says, "Oh," she says, "you have to go to Applegate." And I go, "Oh, this is interesting." She says, this gal that was talking, she said, "I have never, ever heard such teaching in all of my life." She says, "The key to growing," she says, "in your understanding of God is expositional teaching," and she used that phrase. She said, "You'll always hear preachers preach on topics or give sermons, and that's good." But she, telling this other lady, she said, "The key is expositional teaching. You need to go through the Bible. That's the only way you'll really get the full counsel of God." And I'm just going, this is great, and I'm listening to all this. And then the waitress comes by, and the waitress says, "Now, ladies, what would you have?" And the one gal that had been doing the talking said, "Well, I just finished a book on sugar and how we should cut back on our sugar, so I don't want any sugar." And she said, "I also read a book on caffeine, so I better not have any coffee." She goes, "But I really want some coffee." And I said, "Just go ahead and splurge. Just do it," I said, as I shouted across the way. And she looked at me and laughed. I said, "Oh, okay, you know." And she said, "I'll take some coffee." And so this is interesting. So I just keep on listening, you know, and watching these two ladies in the next booth as she came and had her coffee. And then she said, you got to understand. And she goes on. She says, "You'll grow by being in the Word." And she says, "That pastor out there is one of the few men I've ever been around that is committed to expositional teaching." And she says, wait, thank you. But you know, and she says, "And that's the key." She says, "But," she says, "I got to tell you something. There is somebody that is, I think, exceeding him." And I'm going, well, this is really going to be interesting now. There's somebody, she says, "who's exceeding him." And the one gal said, "Who's that?" And she said, "His boy, Peter John." She says, "He taught a message 2 weeks ago on where are the Lord's lovers." And she said, "I was just weeping. I haven't heard that kind of teaching." And she said, "And he seems to have this understanding, this handle on the fear of the Lord." She said, "It's been decades since I've heard that theme emphasized or even touched on, the fear of the Lord." And they were going on for about 25 minutes. And finally, I'm just sitting there taking all of this in. And finally, I pick up my Bible and I go over and I said, "Ladies, would you mind if I joined you?" And the one lady that was doing the talking says, "Oh, that would be fine, sir." And I sat down and said, "I'm Pastor John." "Oh, you're Pastor John?" I said, "Yeah, I'm Pastor John." "Oh," she says, "oh, I've been praying if I could ever meet you. I didn't expect to see you in Denny's. I just, you know," and she goes, I don't see as good as I used to." She said, "I'm 91. And I said, "You're 91? "I'm 91 years old." I said, "Tell me your story." And I sat there at Denny's for the next couple of hours and heard this lady's story, who moved up here in the past, half a year or so. And she lives in that house as you're going towards Medford, right before you get to Bi-Mart on Jacksonville Road, that big white house with the wrought iron black fence. It's the classic house. Her name is Mildred. She's 91. She's been around the things of God forever. She was in the Latter-day Rain movement. She knows all the old Pentecostal revivalists. This gal is just classic. And she's had famous people spend time in her home. Her husband just died. She moved up here. She can't come out all that often. She listens to every broadcast that we do, every service that we do. And she loves the teaching of the word, you know. And I was just, I literally just sat there and just was taking in from Mildred and her young friend who was 70. And I was just taking in for just sitting there Saturday afternoon, just taking in and being blessed and getting just amazed at the richness and her understanding. She says, can I look at your Bible? And I said, sure. She goes, I'm holding John Corson's Bible. she says, you know. And we were just having a delightful time, just a great time. And to hear someone from that vantage point who's been around that long in so many revivals and Pentecostal movements and all the rest say the key is the exposition of the word. She's seen it all. She's been through all the stuff, and she says, and this is the long and short of it, the teaching of God's word under the anointing of the Spirit. And you know, it was so wonderful. It was such an encouragement. And, you know, the Lord has ways of just occasionally giving us those kinds of things to eavesdrop in on to encourage our hearts, doesn't he? He's good that way. But the thing that really blessed me was her evaluation, this godly saint. Hey, there's somebody that's excelling and exceeding. It's your son, you know. And I go, right, excellent. He's riding a donkey. He's coming in. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And that's, I'll tell you, no greater joy can any man hear, as the Apostle John said, than to know that his children walk in truth. It's the greatest thing of all. And I say that to you to say, Dad, listen carefully. You might say, man, I wish I could be a missionary in Asia. Or I wish I could be a preacher in Atlanta. The most important, satisfying ministry you'll ever have is with your children. There is no more satisfying, thrilling, fulfilling ministry than raising up your kids, teaching them everything you know. Having devotions at home, Bible studies with your son, your daughter, whoever it might be. Giving them the word, pouring out your heart, leading them in prayer. It is such a delight. And as fun as Monopoly was last night, for me it paled in comparison to just sitting out in our backyard as we do and opening up the scriptures and working through some stuff together as a family. There's nothing better than that. And guess what? Every one of us have that opportunity.
Do you realize that? We all have the opportunity and blessing to share the scriptures with kids. It may be our own children, it may be our grandchildren, or it may be somebody else's kids that we can simply bless. But we all have the opportunity. Take advantage of this opportunity and know the joy of helping a child walk in truth.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
We would like to remind you that on the Searchlight website, you can find Pastor John's teachings through the entire Bible. You can listen to the audio or watch the video of any of these teachings from the website at any time for no charge. The Searchlight website address is johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.